verse number 8 through 14. This is a portion of what is commonly called the Christmas story and found in the book of Luke. And we are going to be reading this morning concerning the shepherds that are abiding in the fields. They were watching their flocks. And, of course, the announcement is made unto them that there has been a Savior born. And the wonder of it all is how that God would deal with them. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's go on and read a few more verses. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Our Father, I pray now that You'd take these words, these verses, I pray, God, You'd bless our hearts this morning concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, who later in our life became our Savior. We pray, God, that we might magnify His name, we might honor Him where honor is always due, and then we can go from this place rejoicing that You have met with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. There's one verse here that I want us to look at and a couple of words. As we look into these verses tonight, this morning, it says, There was in the same night shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, they were sore afraid. And then in verse 10, And the angel said to them, Fear not, I bring you good tidings, for unto you is born this day. Unto you. I'm glad this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ came and was born. And as we give the story here, as we read the story, we find that this is what we would call the first Christmas, if we use our terminology. And of course, it is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thing. It is a wonder that God would come to the lowliest of people and make an announcement that unto them had been born in the city of David, a Savior. For they were not the princes, they were not the kings, they were not the higher up of people, they were just lowly shepherds, but yet Jesus came unto them. I'm glad this morning that we have that message that Jesus comes to whosoever will, and that they might be able to have the joy of Jesus Christ in their heart. We find here in the Scripture that the announcement is made, and they began to think among themselves, and they said, let's just go find this one that has been told to us. And they go and they find Joseph and Mary and the babe. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes just like they had told him that he would be. Unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior. You know, we have this morning, we could be identified with people that have been blessed by the Lord. I think we can say that we have lived and had pretty good life in comparison to other places in the world, and our life has not really been too difficult. Our life has not been too hard, even though there's trials that come and problems arise. We really still can say we've been blessed. It's easy for us to stand and to tell people what Christmas means to us. It's easy for us to give testimony, and I'm sure this morning that if I was to ask for testimony of what Christmas means to you, that we would have different stories and different things, but it would all come down to the blessings of the Lord. But what about those others that are not as fortunate as us? We are living in a world that is becoming smaller and smaller, and we know what takes place almost instantaneously as happens in worldwide situations, and we find that there are those that have very few things concerned of fleshly things and worldly things, and I wonder what Christmas would mean to them if they were to give a testimony, or I wonder if they would even know what it was all about. Many of them would not. I wonder what Christmas might mean to a wife that's lost her husband and now she has three or four children that she must raise and every day has to take care of the needs that they have. I wonder what Christmas means to her. I thought about the man in Nigeria as we have dealt with Brother Solomon these last few months here in the country. I wonder about those folks in that land that maybe are old and they're living in a hut, and many of them still do. I wonder what it would mean to them. I'm sure it would be totally different. There are some that have never seen a mall, never seen a Christmas tree. They've never seen the lights of what we commonly call Christmas lights. They have never experienced that. I was talking to Solomon this past week. I said, "How large a city do you live in?" He said, "Oh, I live in a town. I don't live in a city." I said, "Well, what's the difference?" He said, "Well, a city is much larger and there's more conveniences there." I said, "Well, how big is the town you live in?" He said, "Oh, it has over 1 million people." I thought, "Well, that sounds pretty large to me. I would call that a city." He said, "Oh, no, it's a town." He said, "We don't have any places of eating like the city does. If you have it, it's something that somebody like a vendor would have of their own home," and he said, "You wouldn't want to eat there." And so I wonder what, if we was to ask those folks, what does Christmas mean to you? It probably has they have no understanding. The third world people in the countries around this world that's never heard the gospel, they have no idea. What about the little North Korean child that lives under a strong dictator and a regime that cares nothing about people and nothing about their country? They have no idea what Christmas is about. They have no idea about the message. I'm sure Christmas means different things to different people. To the merchants, it's the busiest time of the year. They hire new people and they hire extra people to take care of the influx of the people that's coming in and buying. And if you go out shopping from now to Christmas, you'll understand why they do that, because you cannot get around. And so Christmas means something different to that type of person. To some of the employees of places, it means a Christmas bonus where they can put extra money to something or maybe to buy a gift for someone. For some, it's the time of fun and parties. For children, it's a time of impatience and just can't wait. The other day, James found a gift that they had wrapped for him, and he wanted it right then, impatient. How many times, and some of us have stories of how we took care of that impatience. We'd go open them up and put them back, and nobody ever knew we'd seen what was in there. And we acted so surprised when it came that morning. Y'all are smiling. Some of you have done that. And so the time passes slowly for that child, and seems like it never gets here, and they anticipate that Christmas morning. And we have so many traditions that are not really anything to do with Scripture. We have so many traditions of the family setting and doing things that really have nothing to do with really what Christmas is all about. But Christmas and the story of Christmas and what it should mean to us is that He said unto you, "I'm glad that Jesus Christ was born and He has been given unto you. He has been presented to us that we might have life." The fact that God made this first announcement, this is the first announcement of the birth of Christ, and it was made to lowly shepherds. As I said a while ago, it wasn't made to the rich. It wasn't made to the kings. It wasn't made to the priest. It wasn't made to the Jewish Sanhedrin and to the leadership of that nation. It was made to lowly shepherds tending their flock outside the city of Bethlehem, sitting there watching at night and wondering what had happened, wondering what has taken place. They were on the opposite end of the social a stand from King Herod. They was on the opposite end of all the other influential people of the day. They lived in the fields with their animals. They didn't have the houses there. They were just living in the fields at night, and they were taking care of those sheep. And they were not respected. They didn't have any power. They didn't have any prestige. Yet the angel of the Lord came and gave unto them the story that a Savior has been born. And so the Lord always seemingly uses that which is insignificant. God knows us that when we are important to Him, and that is the real story of Christmas. Aren't you glad this morning that God knows your name? He knows your family. He knows your children. He knows all the integral details of your life. And He knows those unseen, unknown things even. And God knows us, and therefore we are important to Him. And all through Scripture we see that God honors and uses people that often the world overlooks and ignores. The Bible says He uses the baser things. He uses the things that the world would say, oh, that's nothing. And the world in which these shepherds lived in, they were the most unrespected people of their day. They were just outcasts. But yet they had a job and they took care of those sheep. And that night the angel appeared unto them. They found out they were important. And one day I found out I was important. And when Jesus came to your life, you found out you were important. And as Brother Bradley just sang the song, the wonder of it all that is that He would love me. Knowing me, knowing my makeup, and knowing my mental thoughts and my abilities and disabilities, God loved me. And so therefore, that ought to be the real meaning of Christmas. As we said, God uses the little things, and there's many illustrations are given in the Scripture about that. God used a young Jewish boy one time. He was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he was carted off to Egypt, and before long he was put on the throne. Joseph was overlooked. Joseph was hated by his brethren. He was sold as a slave, and he was put into prison. And even those that had promised him certain things in prison forgot about him there, and he was forgotten about, but God hadn't forgot about him. And circumstances brought him to the place of great authority and great power in the land of Egypt. And Joseph became the deliverer not only of Egypt, but he became the deliverer of his own family that had betrayed him and his brothers that had sold him. God uses the insignificant. I think in the New Testament, there's a little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And God could use that to feed 5,000 people. The little insignificant thing. The little person that maybe doesn't count, but yet this little boy that had just the lunch, 5,000 men plus the women and children who stayed on the hillside one day listening to Jesus was a recipient because God used his little lunch to make an abundance of food for the whole company to eat. It was enough, and because God took that small lunch from a little boy and blessed it. God doesn't always use the big things. God doesn't always use that which the world thinks He will use. Sometimes He uses a little boy or a little girl, and they grow up to be a lady or a man of God and serve the Lord and be blessed of God abundantly. That the world and family members might say, well, he'll never make it. He'll not do any good. He'll not survive. Or she certainly isn't... she's not material to do anything for God, and maybe we are not able to do what some people can do, but God can do all things through us that He desires. God knows us, and we're important to Him. And so when the announcement was made here that they have been a Savior born, He said, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you. Unto you is born, unto you is given. God honors and uses people and things that the world often overlooks. And here God makes this first announcement to the shepherds. Maybe warming by the fires at night and trying to stay warm and trying to be comfortable. And all of a sudden this incident happens. When God decided to select a mother for His son, the insignificant became very important. God didn't go to the fashion salons and the beauty parlors of Jews. He went to a lowly house to a young maiden called Mary, who wasn't known. He went past the furs and the diamonds. He went past the things that the world would look at, the clothes and the education. But He picked a girl that was pure. And God selected her to be the mother of His only begotten Son. What a blessing unto you. So when Christ came, He was not placed in a Mount Sinai hospital, I guess we might call it. He didn't have all the nurses and the doctors, and didn't have all the instructions. He was just born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. So what God does sometimes is using the insignificant as far as the world is concerned, and the world says, that's foolish to do that, that's foolish to believe that, but the Scripture says that foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. So I'm glad this morning that we can say that God loves us and God cares about us, and we do not have to be well known. We do not have to have worldwide attention. We do not have to have our names in lights. We do not have to have the sophistication that the world says that you need in order to perform in this society. But I'm glad, thank God, unto you is born a Savior. I'm glad He was born to me, someone that would never be known, someone that would not be important as far as the world is concerned, but yet Jesus came and gave His life that we might live and have eternity. When God makes announcement, He makes it to the shepherds. He didn't put it in the Jerusalem Post. He took it to the shepherds. He took it to that lowly crowd. He took it to that people that the world thought there would be no use in even going to them. God cares about. If God cares about the lilies of the field and the sparrows that fly, and God cares about all those things, the Lord says, know that He cares about you. I'm glad He knows my frame. He knows my makeup. He knows my emotions. And God cares about how I feel and how I act and what I do and how things affect me. God knows how to handle that in my life. And so when God made the announcement of the birth of the Son of God, He goes to lowly shepherds and says, hey, in the city of David, there's been an occurrence. In the city of David, there is born to you this day a Savior, and His name is Christ the Lord. I'm glad, thank God, knows not only lowly shepherds, but He cares for us. There's a lot of people in the world that need to hear that truth. There's a lot of people around the world that needs to know God loves them, God cares about them. There are those husbands and wives maybe who have abandoned their spouses, and they need to hear that God loves them. There are those children that are left on the wayside. They need to hear that Jesus loves them. There are those who have lost their mates in death. They need to hear that God loves them. Children have been abused and rejected. I'm appalled and I'm amazed continually every day of all the news announcements of children being abused and killed and manipulated and used so wrongly. Oh, they need to hear God loves them. The scars on emotional scars are far deeper than fleshly scars. And they need to know, and people need to understand, and adults need to realize that God loves us and God cares about us, and to us was born a Savior, Jesus Christ. And He says, cast all your cares, for I care for you. Lost souls on Skid Row who try to drink and drug away their fears, drug away their hurts, they need to hear God loves them. People who are lonely need to hear it. Just simply people that are lost need to hear God loves them. I'm glad Jesus came to the lowly. Anybody that's been ever rejected and left alone needs to know God loves them. Anybody that has the circumstances of life come to them that is harsh and hard, and they have to live in that, need to know and bring the knowledge that Jesus came for them. For unto you, put your name there, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Not only does He come and wants to give us and for us to know how important we are, but secondly, our life matters. We're important to Him, and so therefore our life matters because God does love us. God does care about us. This passage teaches us that life matters to God. Doesn't matter who you are, God cares about it and can find you right where you are. Can you imagine how those shepherds must have been sitting around maybe the campfire and they wondered what has been said, what's going on? They make the statement here. After they left, they came to pass. In verse 15, when the angels were gone away, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go unto the Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Maybe we wonder. Maybe they would wonder, why would He come to us? Why would He tell us why? It's because God loved them. The world may not love us, and the society may not care about us, and sometimes we get to thinking, what difference does it make anyway? Why does it matter if I do or do not? What difference does it make if I get up in the morning or not? A lot of people live that way. A lot of people are in the state of depression and they just could care less, and they don't want to get up because of what they have to face. And when they get up, they try to drug it or drink it away so they don't have to face it. But God does love them. God does care. Life matters. The people that we come in contact with daily and yearly in our life are people that are living, and they're going to live somewhere in eternity. And I like the dogs that we pet and the cats that we have in our homes. It's not like the little animals that we love. They're people. They're human beings. They're creations of God, made in the image of God. And one day they're going to stand before God, either saved or lost. That's what matters. Every life matters. It's appalling of the destruction of life that our country has adopted. We call it abortion. God calls it murder. Every life matters. When God made this announcement to the shepherd, He was also saying to us, your life is worthwhile because my gift to you is my son. It is important what we do and how we live. It is important that we make right kind of impressions upon people. It is important that we live in such a way that people would see life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody's life counts. The story is told that some years ago, there was a sort of like a cartoon appeared in across the country, and it pictured two farmers in Kentucky. Might be no Kentucky. But this had to be because of what the content was. They were standing in a field as the snow was falling, and one of the farmers turned and asked the other, "Anything exciting happened around your place today? Anything exciting happened today?" "Nah, nothing exciting," said the farmer. "Oh, there was a baby born over in a little cabin not too far, over at Tom Lincoln's house. But that's nothing." It did make a difference, didn't it? You see, people are not insignificant. We are not to the point that we do not matter. Of course, that baby was born, and Tom Lincoln one day became president. Abraham Lincoln. He changed the course of history. He liberated many things, and one life can make a difference. Whether you agree with everything Lincoln did or not, I don't think we agree with anybody, everything they did, but life is significant. I don't agree with everything I do. I just don't tell anybody. I say, boy, what did I do that for? That's stupid. I wonder that people that night, the people in Bethlehem on that night, I wonder if they would maybe was asking, anything significant happen around here today? Probably not. Oh, there's a family traveling, a little old baby was born, they had to lay it in a manger because there wasn't any room in the inn, but that's not important. Oh, but it was important. And the announcement was made to the shepherd. It wasn't made to the city officials of Bethlehem. It wasn't made to the high courts of the land. It wasn't made to the, as I said a while ago, to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders. It was made, that announcement was made to the lowly shepherds. Unto you is born a Savior. Praise the Lord. God knows us. God knows that we are important. God loves us. God cares for us. And our faith matters to God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These shepherds were men of faith, I believe, because had they had no faith, they'd said, well, that's not significant. And so they went to themselves and they talked among themselves and they said, well, let's just go find out what's happened. I believe these shepherds were looking for the Messiah, for everyone was looking at that time. You see, there was things in the writings of the Jewish law, and there was writing of the Scriptures, there was writings that, and they knew that it was very close to the time of the birth of that boy that Isaiah told about. You see, we're looking for the second coming of the Lord, and they were anticipating the first coming. And they had the prophecies as what would happen and how it would be, and how that the Lord would bring forth His Son. And they had Isaiah's prophecies that a child, a son would be born and a child given. And they had the prophecy that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son and call His name Emmanuel. They were all looking, and those families were saying, is it my family? Is it my family that will be blessed to have the Messiah? And so they were maybe anticipating, and they now have heard this. They've prayed over and over again for the coming of their Messiah. I think some of the saddest people in the world today are Orthodox Jews that are still praying for the coming of their Messiah, and they've not found that He's come yet. They're praying for Messiah. They're praying for the Lord to come because they rejected Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. And they're still anticipating and hoping and looking. And you and I this morning, we know He's come. The announcement was given. The shepherds heard it. The shepherds talk among themselves. And then when they had seen it, not only did the shepherds hear it and see it, verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went out and told everybody, Jesus has been born. And so they were looking and anticipating, and now they have seen that. It's all by faith. I'm sure there's probably some of the Jewish leaders that, and Jewish families that had quit praying about the coming of Messiah. They'd just given up. Like a lot of people today. A lot of folks today that give up on things, and when it's really there that it's going to happen. Sort of like our Sunday school lesson this morning. Sometimes we wait so long that we begin to think it's never going to happen. When God came to Abraham, He said, I am the Almighty God, and I will give you, and I will give you the promise, and I'll give you the blessing of a son. I'm glad, thank God, Jesus is coming. Never give up on the hope of that. Don't give up on that, and don't let the circumstances of life make you think, well, it's just, what's the use? Don't let the hardships and the trials say it's not worth it, because it is worth it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Maybe the announcement that came to the shepherds, and this announcement that came, others would laugh it off and say, oh, you're just shepherds. It does not matter. Sometimes we become weary in well-doing. Sometimes we go through the years and the processes of time and nothing seems to happen like we thought it would happen, and we say, what's the use? Some people get to the idea of what's the use of going to church? Nothing ever happens anyway. But you never know what God's going to do. Nothing exciting. And so we wonder if it's worth our sacrifice to God. Lord, why don't You come today? Why don't You make it now? Why don't You come and take us all home and get us out of this mess? How many times we've all prayed that? We've all wondered that. We've all experienced those thoughts. Why don't You do it, God? And the Lord says, I'm Almighty God. I'll do it in my time. And when I do it, it'll be right. One day He will come. He will come for all of us. He's placed our hope and our faith in the finished work of the cross of that little boy that was born in Bethlehem. Oh, they may have said nothing significant, only a little boy laid in a manger. But that one that was laid in a manger, He died on a cross. He died for the sins of men and women, boys and girls. The Scripture tells us that He died for the world. He died for many. And one day He will come again, just like the Scripture says. As those Jewish believers were looking for His first coming, and many of them did believe when He came, and as we are looking for the promise of His coming now, and He will come, and there are many of us that are looking for that, our faith matters. It's important because it matters to other people. We make an impression. We have a testimony. We have something that we must do for the Lord, and He has told us. He'll dry our tears. He'll wipe away our pain. He'll take death from us. No more goodbyes. Every time you say goodbye down here, it ought to make you hope for the day that we never have to say goodbye again. We have holidays, we have family reunions, and there comes a day that have to say goodbye. You start thinking about it when you get there. There's going to be that day we got to leave. There's going to be that time we'll have to say goodbye. Sometimes it's a sad goodbye. Sometimes we have to follow a casket to the cemetery and say goodbye for the last time. Oh, but there's a day coming, because unto you is born in the city of David a Savior. There's a day coming when there's no more goodbyes. There's a day coming when we'll have no more pain and no more tears. And we will say then, not it will be worth it all, we will say it was worth it all. To see Christ and know Him, that one that has been given to us, unto us. It's a wonderful thing that He was given unto us. Praise the Lord, this morning, one day I trusted Him. He became my Savior because He was given unto me. And you're here today, saved, born again. He was given unto you. He was born in the city of David. He is the Savior. And it does matter. We can't throw up our hands and give up because He is coming. The day approaches and the night is coming. And one day we shall see Him. And then we will say, it was worth it all. Every trial, every mile, every heartache, every tear, every sorrow, every problem that's ever been in the life of a believer, it'll be worth it when we see Him. When we see Christ, what a blessed thought that is. And when those shepherds in the fields watching over their flock by night, when they heard the message that a Savior had been given unto them, you know what they did? They went and found Him. And when they found Him, they saw Him, they didn't have the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. They didn't have the gifts. They wasn't the wise men. They were shepherds. They wasn't the wisdom of the world. They wasn't the people that had anything. But you know what they did? They give themselves over to telling everybody around, He's born. He's here. How did they know that? Two things. They heard it and they saw it. And so they could, and the Lord says, you establish something in the eyes of two witnesses. They heard it from heaven and they saw it for themselves. And they went out from that place publishing to everyone, Messiah has come. Well, who would believe a shepherd? Who would believe a lowly shepherd, that insignificant? A lot of people believed because of the message of the shepherds. I'm glad He came to the lowly. I'm glad you don't have to be rich, don't have to be well known, don't have to be famous. He just came that all might come unto Him and have life. Thank God He made the announcement, unto you is born. Let's stand together this morning.